Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
It's been a month since we've recorded.
How does it feel?
It feels great. I was dying to get back onto a podcast that 15 people listen to.
So a month ago, you and I've been looking at numbers and tracking numbers, and we decided take a break, but actually put our efforts, our energy into other things, but to keep the podcast as a monthly show. Right. Which I think is a good move. Like, I'm really excited. I'm more excited about recording this than, I don't know, I always liked recording our podcast, but I feel like this is pretty cool to come back to, like, a, you know, how you been? What's going on? What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, more than anything, I think what we've been able to do over the past like 6 weeks or so is really just like take a step back and assess the situation and figure out where we should really focus our energy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel pretty good about that. I'm with you. I feel good about coming back to this. I'm glad that we're not abandoning it completely. Mm-hmm. We're not abandoning anything about Same Team completely. Mm-hmm. But we're evaluating where it should go in the future.
Yeah. I also think it's helped us, which I think we'll talk about later, but we found a new path that's pretty exciting.
I'm stoked.
I don't think we would have gotten there if we hadn't taken this step back.
Oh, right? Completely.
Because we wouldn't have seen it, which is so interesting. We'll talk about that more.
I think the lesson learned here for me is to continue to feel good about what you're doing. You always have to take a step back and reevaluate it, because I still stand by every word we've written, everything that's been designed, like everything that we have done. I'm very proud of. I think our timing for all of this has been not the best, but I think a lot of people are experiencing that right now.
Yeah.
And I'm more proud of what we've done in the past 6 weeks for ourselves individually, creatively, like how we've been expressing ourselves, I think is even more exciting than what we've been doing at Same Team. And like I said, I still stand by everything that we've done here and continue to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
So let's get into that. Let's move into the huddle. Let's talk about what those things are. Like, what is top of mind for you? What have you been working on?
Well, I've been working on my book and writing, and I've been doing a ton of research on some new opportunities that you and I are looking at. But the thing that's top of mind for me lately is I've had quite a few conversations with people that an unfortunate trend I see is a lot of people carrying a lot of stress on their back about potential future decisions that are not in front of them yet, right? There's a lot of what happens if, and they're carrying around the stress of having to make that decision. And it's not even like, even if they did, it's not theirs to make right now because it's not being offered to them. Right.
Right.
And I've had to remind a number of people that, don't worry about the problems that aren't problems yet, or don't worry about the decisions that you might have to make that are not yours to make yet. Right. Just
right.
Let go. And I think we all need to be reminded of that sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. I think, you know, I'll be totally honest and vulnerable here. The last year has been a nightmare business-wise. It has not mm-hmm. been easy. We're not operating at the level that we used to. And everyone's feeling that, whether you're independent and have less work, whether you're a full-time employee who is a little bored or burned out at work. Like, I think people are at both ends of that spectrum for sure. Mm-hmm. I think more on the burnt out end, or whether you're a laid off person trying to figure out what your next step is going to be. I think everyone is in this space at some level now. I do think that we're starting to creep out of it for some reason. Like, I'm seeing little indicators that people, at least in the agency space, are doing a little bit better. Business is starting to come back, so that feels good. I think we all just want to live normal lives, and it feels so out of our control that it's been a challenge mentally, emotionally, physically, even.
Everything's tired, been in change. So it's, but that little light at the end of the tunnel, you know what it feels like to me is after a forest fire, you know, speaking of everybody being burned out, right? So we've all been through living in a forest fire, and it's like 6 months later and you start to see green grass come up.
Right.
Right. The little seedlings. It's going to take a while before we see trees, but we're starting to see the little flecks of green in the charred remains of, you know, what was.
And I think it's not just about business coming back, right? Like, it's not just about work. It's about hope. It's about being able to enjoy the little things in life again. It's like, I might sound like a little depressed, but I promise that I'm not. I feel like I've come through it. I think that there was a point in time where you and I were leaning in really hard on writing about burnout and talking about burnout and being burnout at the same time. And that made me kind of hit rock bottom. And I think that's been part of this whole evolution of same team. It's like we've been experiencing what everyone else is experiencing and talking about it from our own perspectives, and trying to make something catch on, make a new brand catch on. And it's been really fucking hard. That's all it comes down to. It's like we've put the work in. I'm sure there's tons that we could have done differently or better, but to me, it's not worth it to look at it that way. I think, you know, bringing it back to our initial conversation, it's like we're finding a different direction for our future. We've taken a step back, and we've both gone a little bit in, not in different directions, but we're taking little tangents. It's like we're both in a band, and we're both doing our solo work at the moment.
I was gonna say, we're recording our solo albums.
Yeah. And so that's like, that's kind of my huddle is I gave this, well, first of all, back in May, I wrote this article called Dear Agencies, You Still Need Someone Your Client Likes. And it was about a reaction to large agencies really collapsing the account management function into the project management role. And I just wrote like a hot take. You know, I've been really kind of, I think in the past year, I've been evolving my voice and my tone. And I wrote just like a hot take that was a little snarky and direct and to the point, and it caught fire. Like, just like your work caught fire a few weeks before that. And that led us both down these paths of like, wow, we struck a nerve, and we struck a nerve with something that we're really interested in and excited about. So why wouldn't we pursue that? Why wouldn't we support each other through that? So I wrote that article, and then this past week I presented harnessing the account and project management tension. And apparently, from what Carl says, it's one of the highest attended webinars that they've had
at the Bureau.
At the Bureau in some time. And the reaction, the feedback's been really great. And I'm now getting leads from it. So, hey.
That's good.
I have zero complaints. You know, like, life is a journey, work is a journey. Your career as an independent is absolutely a roller coaster ride, and that never, ever changes, no matter how stable you are. So I'm just rolling with it.
Good. Well, let's get into this week's review. Okay. Despite taking a step back, we've been continuing to publish on a weekly basis articles that are kind of in response to the zeitgeist, if you will. this last, what, 4 or 5 weeks, we've written about hybrid work, about AI. We still continue to write about burnout, still very much a topic that needs talking about. And you wrote a piece on unicorns. Yes. So if you're listening to this, we're going to publish the links. You know, you can find these on sameteampartners.com, but we'll also be highlighting these in our upcoming Field Report newsletter next week. So, but let's get into an article that we selected to discuss for the podcast, which is When Silence Isn't a Red Flag, Leading Quiet Remote Teams, which is a really interesting topic because, and we'll get into this, but give us the highlight. What'd you write about?
Yeah. So, you know, you and I have been essentially working remotely or hybrid for at least the past 12, 13 years. When we were at Happy Cog together, we were pretty much doing that.
Got 20 years in remote.
Wow. Okay. So that's right. That's right. Your team, your
Airbag. I started Airbag as a remote company. Yeah.
Completely remote. So we've got experience here. I think I joined a company as a fractional leader. This company was, they shall not be named. This company used to be in one office. COVID came, forced them into kind of a hybrid work scenario. And now it's really more just a completely remote scenario because just none of the locals even want to go into the office because that's what happened to everybody in the world, right? Like everyone realized there's no need to go into an office. The thing about this team is like, they're super talented. Everyone takes their job seriously. But from day one, engagement with these folks online for me has been a little uncomfortable because I'm kind of chatty. Mm-hmm. I get uncomfortable when there's silence. I feel like there's something wrong. And I'm like, why aren't people engaging? And I tried to explore that on my own and to really come around to the fact that like, this isn't negative. None of the behaviors that you're seeing from these folks is negative. It just so happens, this is kind of the culture here. And this is how the people are. They're professional, they show up, they interact when they need to. But that's it. Like, there's no chit chat leading up to a meeting starting. There's no like GIF wars in Slack. There's a little playfulness in Slack, but every interaction, every communication feels really intentional. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I wrote this article to kind of talk about that silence that you can experience and then a little bit about like what good silence looks like, and when it's bad, and then what to do as a leader if you're not sure. So that was kind of why I wrote it. It's really kind of rooted in my experience. So I'm curious, you know, given your experience here, 20 years, have you experienced this kind of silence within a remote team? And if you have, like, how do you interpret it?
Yes, I have. And I've come across it a couple of times. Interestingly enough, not the teams that I formed, but teams that I inherited. Right. And so that's where I'm stepping into. It's a good point about stepping into a culture that you didn't create. And I'd say the thing that concerned me the most that struck me wasn't so much like there wasn't chit chat and the GIF wars or GIF battles, which are always fun. It made me concerned that maybe people weren't collaborating enough.
Right.
And in one culture, it took me a while to understand that they were. They just weren't being verbal about it. I'll use verbal in air quotes because they didn't, I didn't see that they had meetings. Not that I had to, but there wasn't any other evidence to show that they're actually getting together and they're talking about things.
Right. Right.
And because they weren't a chatty group, it took me a while to uncover that yeah, hey dude, we're good. We've been talking. This is how we roll. We're just not Slack users, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
But then there was another group that I worked with, and not only was Slack just barren of any activity, but the more I dug into that team, and it actually, that didn't take me very long to show that some people actually were taking that as a cue that they could go do something else during quote work hours.
Well,
right?
Yeah, that is, well, and that's the thing, right? Like that's the general kind of like immediate thought. It's
yeah.
Like, okay, this person isn't doing the job they need to do.
Right.
It's like you start to lose trust.
Well, but that's where, you know, as I dug in, it's like, man, not only are these people not talking to each other, they're ducking out, which this happens in person. I used to work with a guy at a very large company, and he found out one time he left early because he had to, and he had an office, and he just left the office door open and left his light on. And kind of discovered that if he did that, everybody just assumed he was in a meeting somewhere.
He's pooping.
So this guy would at 3 o'clock, he's out the door. No one ever brought it up. Like
wow.
Nobody. And the only reason I knew it is because it was like, where have you been? Like you keep leaving. You're not around yeah. after 3. And he's like, dude, don't tell anybody, but this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He got let go for other reasons because, you know, that kind of person, when they start to do that, there's always going to be other problems there. But kind of going back to yes, I've seen it. One time it was fine. It was just I needed to adapt. And other times it's like, no, this company has problems. And I'd like to point out that company disappeared 6 months later.
Interesting.
Like they did not survive post-COVID. Basically when the company's stopped all their budgets, their freezes, they got hit immediately. The work they were doing was just, I guess, not seen as valuable.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So thinking about the kind of like less visible ways of noticing engagement, like what are some of those signs that you've seen on remote teams? Like you mentioned the Slack gift wars and that kind of stuff not happening, but what are some signs that you've seen on remote teams where people are disengaged?
To me, first and foremost is, and this goes back to why one-on-ones are still so important, no matter what, even mm-hmm. if it's a, you know, quote, quiet workplace, the one-on-ones are, I mean, even more so, the one-on-ones are just absolutely necessary. The people who have a problem describing and talking about the work that they've been doing, right? When you say, how's your week been? Or how's your 2 weeks been? What have you been working on? What's the result? Who you've been talking to or who you're working with? And, you know, when you ask questions like that or similar questions, my experience is the people who have a hard time or when I say hard time, I mean not finding the words, or they go into a mode of I need to now just jibba jabba to make it sound like I've been busy.
Right.
and they use additive words and describe all these small activities, you know, almost like describing all the dependencies of the every task that they had to do.
Right.
And then it's just like, I see right through you. You haven't been doing shit.
Yep. The flip side of that, I've actually, I didn't mention this in the article, but I did have a situation one time on another team with a team member who was disengaged, like not responding to project managers, not tracking time, basically showing no evidence that work was happening. Mm-hmm. And then when a deadline came, oh, I had to have that done. Oh, I'm going to need another day.
Yep.
And then when you approach that person, or when I approach that person about it, it was full on defensive mode.
Yep.
Because guess what? That person either had another job, which is insanely something that has been happening over the past, 5 years since mm-hmm. COVID, that like, these crazy people have come in and taken up multiple jobs and have done a really crappy job in one area or probably in all areas, but are somehow holding like multiple full-time roles. It's like mind-blowing to me. But either that was happening, or what I really think was happening is that this person just had no personal sense of time management and accountability to the work. So they just figured, whatever, I get this done on my own time. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to answer to anyone, including you. So being me. So that person was fired. That was a place where it was like, yeah, this intentionally being non-visible is a problem. But I think it's a balance. And I think, you know, a lot of times it comes from the top and making sure that as a leader, you are showing up in a way and modeling behavior that you want your team to actually take on. So how do you think like your communication style influences how you lead a remote team?
So I learned this. I learned the hard way. Excuse me. I learned this the hard way about a year into forming Airbag, where about that time I had two employees on the East Coast, one in North Carolina, one in Boston. And then I had two employees at that point with me in California, Southern California, and found out like the importance, the absolute necessity of over-communication, you know, because I was having development conversations with the guy in Boston. I was having, you know, systems development conversations with the guy in North Carolina and design conversations with the guys in California, Southern California. But there was, it was one of those things that we were making decisions in these little pockets and not coming back and saying, guys, we just had this conversation, kind of just a summary of what took place. And I had to learn that my communication style was, I was just working with these people as if we were in the same office, but I was just coming up to them and saying like, hey, I need to tell you this important thing, or, you know, consider this in your work, or even just they would say, hey, I need to riff with you on something. Not fully understanding that when we're in the office, you know, people can kind of overhear things, or they might even, I've learned too that people will, you know, pause their music even if they have headphones on to see, is this something I probably need to overhear?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not to be, that's not a gossip thing. It's more of, this is interesting because there might be an impact on the thing that I'm actually working on right now, right? Yep. And in remote, that's impossible, right? And my that communication style, I had to adapt because we, as the team grew and people had more, you know, focused responsibilities, mm-hmm. creating all these different dependencies, we started hitting, you know, some snags. And so I had to very much change my communication style. And in a sense, you know, upgrade the culture, evolve the culture accordingly. And that's when we brought in, not before Slack existed, there was Campfire. Same mm-hmm. kind of a, you know, chat environment, shared chat mm-hmm. environment. And that helped out a lot. But then yeah. there was also the need for discipline of relaying conversations that were going to have some kind of direct or tangential impact on the work of others.
Yeah. I also found that teams just need a little bit of guidance about where to communicate and how often. Yep. Just about, you know, just knowing that you are present while we're online, that your Slack status is, you know, active or away or in a meeting, whatever it is, you know, where to talk about certain things, like having some kind of communication plan, as maybe like structured as it sounds, can be really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. I think you can do it in a way that doesn't feel like people are being watched. That's the thing that I always fear about is, you know, giving people the leeway to behave as they do as just human beings. And as long as they're showing up for work and being productive and creating a space that is actually, that feels like it's safe for people who are a little bit more introverted. So I'm going to ask you this last question and I'll let you transition us into the next, the ask essentially, but what's What's something that you've done to kind of create psychological safety for people who are a little bit quieter?
Getting the team as a whole to come together and talk about, basically come up with their own version of a, you know, co-create, kind of like a team charter on communication.
Okay.
Right. So not just me coming down and say, thou shalt.
This is what you do, how we do it here. Yeah.
Right. But I have, it's kind of related to the article I wrote about last week, is, you know, the framework of, I may come up with, here's, so you're not starting from scratch. Here's some things that are important to me in terms of how you work, how you communicate. But then I give them a requirement of, you need to replace one of these with your own, and you need to at least rewrite one of them.
Yeah.
And
so that forcing participation a little bit.
Yeah.
To get the point of view, the breadth of the point of view. Yeah.
Yep.
I like that.
And to encourage it, because if you don't, I found that people will look at that and say, all right, that works, you know, kind of sign on the dotted line and not have that. The conversation is necessary, that everybody needs to then also participate, you know, that, so that you get the people that, you know, are typically the shy, the quiet ones, the introverted. The requirement is for them to voice their perspective, because in the absence of their participation, people just assume a lot of assumptions get made. Even down to that point of, just because they're quiet doesn't mean I'm, you know, we're not getting things done. Doesn't mean I don't care. Just that's part of my personality. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's then and there that it's very important for the team to just get that on the table in a way that's safe, to be truthful to each other, so that you can make a plan and an agreement, working agreement, that's going to work for everyone.
Agree.
Well, let's get into this week's ask. What are we asking our faithful listeners to do this for this episode, this week, this month, this month? What are we asking them to do this month?
My fellow same team players, we are asking you to buy our playbook. So Greg and I created the one-on-one playbook for stronger teams. We think it's the missing manual for the most crucial part of leadership, which is human connection. It's everything that we just talked about. I think this playbook would actually help you to manage those introverted team members a little bit better. There's a part of the playbook that actually talks about how to manage different personality types and what types of questions to ask them and how to handle these conversations. So we think it's great. We know a lot of people are looking at the page, not buying the playbook. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are or what's stopping you from, because at this point, I don't care about selling the playbook as much. I just want to get the information out to people, and I'd love to hear some feedback on, like, what's stopping you?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's get into the hit list. What do you have up first?
Mine is watching, and I have to, like, this is, I was going to say fresh off the boat, and you'll see why that's funny in a minute. It just, I think it dropped yesterday, and it's the Netflix documentary called Trainwreck Poop Cruise. Have you heard about this?
I haven't, but I'm looking at the link now.
I don't even remember this being a story, but apparently people got trapped on a cruise ship, thousands of people on a cruise ship that had no power. And things went south pretty quick. So,
I think I remember about this. Is there something about, like, poop coming down the walls or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember this story. I will definitely check that one out.
Anyway.
Watch it.
Watch it. Yeah. It's worth 60 minutes.
That's funny. That's short, too. I'll definitely watch that. My watching is the Friday the 13th franchise. So I went on Friday the 13th to Camp Crystal Lake in New Jersey, which is where the first Friday the 13th was filmed. Had like a whole VIP experience, stayed overnight, did the whole tour. watched the movie outside, slept in the cabin where people were killed in the movie. So now I have to watch and rewatch all of the movies.
All of them. Isn't there like 10
there
of them?
There are 10. There are 10, and they started in the 80s. They ended up in the early 2000s. There's even like a Freddy versus Jason. I haven't gotten that far yet. The best one, though, you have to watch Friday the 13th Part 3, like, or at least look up the intro, like the opening credits. The music is just hilarious. It's so good.
Okay. So by the way, did anybody sneak out, or did anybody scare you at night in the cabins?
No, I will tell you, when we were driving in, we had to wait in a line, and it was like, there was like a police escort, cause it's actually a Boy Scout camp. And there was a guy sitting at the entrance who looked like he stepped out of 1979.
Really?
And I looked at my friend and I was like, oh my God, there's actors here. This is going to be a jump scare event. And I got so excited. And then we got in there, they did their like little orientation, and somebody asked like, are there going to be jump scares? And they were like, no, we're Boy Scouts. This is really just a way for us to like fund the camp, keep things going. We would be really bad at that. So you can relax. So there weren't any scary things, which I think is kind of a bummer. Like, what a huge missed opportunity.
But yeah, at least like three, you know, because by three you're not sleeping, right?
I was asleep. Yeah, it was
so fun. My next one, I'm reading a book called Magazine and Object Lessons, which is like a series of books, and it's written by Jeff Jarvis, who is a big name in magazine culture. And it's kind of the history and talking about the heyday of the magazine, like the invention of magazines. And I'm not there. I haven't finished yet, but my assumption is it takes us into like the now of what's going on with that industry. But as somebody who loves magazines, I didn't know it existed, and I had to buy it immediately as soon as I saw it.
Cool. My reading this week, it's called Shatterproof: How to Thrive in a World of Constant Chaos and Why Resilience Alone Isn't Enough. It is kind of what you would expect based on the title. I felt like it might be an interesting read just because of the chaos that we're going through right now. Mm-hmm. I am also probably halfway through, haven't learned anything, but it's still kind of an entertaining read. So cool. Check that one out.
I've not heard about it. My last share with this was writing. You and I both have a lot of writing that we've been done. So rather than go through all the titles, just, you know, the theme has been about AI and its impact on jobs, careers, and hiring. Yes. You know, and some of this is in support of people, you know, leaning into AI to help their career, and others it's pretty clear evidence that, you know, I don't think AI is singularly to blame, but it's definitely a big reason why companies are laying off so many people and not hiring a lot of people right now.
Right. Right.
So that's been kind of the theme. And the other is too of the reality that there's a lot of people that maybe don't even want to do this, want to use it, but that their companies are coming down with mandates on, you've got to find a way on how to incorporate this in your role. And so I think, you know, that's happening at some very large companies right now, a lot of tech savvy or technology first companies, but this is coming for everybody. And it's here. It's not coming, it's here. So that's what I've been trying to do, is write about this. And it's part of my book, you know, Creative Intelligence, that's coming out soon. So, lots to think about there.
Yeah, definitely check out Greg's site, brilliantcrank.com. Subscribe there for updates. He's writing more regularly than me, and I'm trying to write once a week on my website. The topics I've been writing about are more project management focused, leaning more into my kind of expertise there and kind of jumping back into project management in a way that I haven't for a while. But also AI through the lens of project management. I ended up doing a bunch of experimentation, wrote some articles for folks just about smarter AI prompts, like ways that PMs can be using AI to help them with some things. And then really, like, the thing that it comes down to for me with AI, and at least in this space, is it's still not going to give you 100% of what you need. You still need a human to take a deliverable, a report, whatever it might be, to the end, but it can save you a lot of time. So I kind of am like, let's handle this like an assistant more than anything. So it's been fun to write about that stuff. I also had one more in my list for this week, and it's listening. The band Haim came out with a new album, and it's called I Quit. And I just love that title for like this time, because I think so many people are quitting, whether it's not quiet quitting as much. Like, I think
rage quitting.
Yeah, exactly. So I just love the title, and it's a pretty solid album. I think Pitchfork gave it a 7 out of 10. So let's check it out. Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's wrap this up and get into our high five. What are we celebrating this month? What are we high-fiving about?
In a way, we're kind of celebrating each other, right? We're celebrating the fact that we took a step back, we read the room, and we kind of want to celebrate the fact that we've got the wisdom to know when we need to take a turn, when things aren't feeling right, and being comfortable to have the open and frank conversation that says, hey, this isn't working. What are we going to do next? So
High five.
High five on that. All right. See you next month.
Yeah. See you in July. Or, you know, quote, air quote, see you.
Things will have changed by then, I hope.
That's true. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing?